Huck was already upon his watch when the ferryboat's lights went glinting past the wharf. He heard no noise on board, for the young people were as subdued and still as people usually are who are nearly tired to death. He wondered what boat it was and why she did not stop at the wharf, and then he dropped her out of his mind and put his attention upon his business. The night was growing cloudy and dark. 10 o'clock came, and the noise of vehicles ceased. Scattered lights began to wink out. All straggling foot passengers disappeared. The village betook itself to its slumbers and left the small watcher alone with the silence and the ghosts. 11 o'clock came, and the tavern lights were put out. Darkness everywhere now. Huck waited what seemed a weary, long time, but nothing happened. His faith was weakening. Was there any use? Was there really any use? Why not give it up and turn in? A noise fell upon his ear. He was all attention in an instant. The alley door closed softly. He sprang to the corner of the brick store. The next moment, two men brushed by him, and one seemed to have something under his arm. It must be that box. So they were going to remove the treasure. Why call Tom now? It would be absurd. The men would get away with the box and never be found again. No, he would stick to their wake and follow them. He would trust to the darkness for security from discovery. So, communing with himself, Huck stepped out and glided along behind the men, cat-like, with bare feet, allowing them to keep just far enough ahead not to be invisible. They moved up the River Street 3 blocks, then turned to the left up a cross street. They went straight ahead then until they came to the path that led up Cardiff Hill. This they took. They passed by the old Welshman's house halfway up the hill without hesitating and still climbed upward. Good, thought Huck. They will bury it in the old quarry. But they never stopped at the quarry. They passed on up the summit. They plunged into the narrow path between the tall sumac bushes and were at once hidden in the gloom. Huck closed up and shortened his distance now, for they never would be able to see him. He trotted along a while, then slackened his pace, fearing he was gaining too fast, moved on a piece, then stopped altogether, listened. No sound. None, save that he seemed to hear the beating of his own heart. The hooting of an owl came from over the hill. Ominous sound. But no footsteps. Heaven! Was everything lost? He was about to spring with winged feet when a man cleared his throat not 4 feet from him. Huck's heart shot into his throat, but he swallowed it again. And then he stood there shaking as if a dozen agues had taken charge of him at once, and so weak that he thought he must surely fall to the ground. He knew where he was. He knew he was within 5 steps of the stile leading into Widow Douglas's grounds. Very well, he thought. Let them bury it there. It won't be hard to find. Now there was a low voice. A very low voice. Injun Joe's.
Damn her. Maybe she's got company. There's lights, late as it is.
I can't see any.
This was that stranger's voice, the stranger of the haunted house. A deadly chill went to Huck's heart. This, then, was the revenge job. His thought was to fly. Then he remembered that the Widow Douglas had been kind to him more than once, and maybe these men were going to murder her. He wished he dared venture to warn her, but he knew he didn't dare. They might come and catch him. He thought all this and more in the moment that elapsed between the stranger's remark and Injun Joe's next, which was,